So moving now to IS 21, so paper 10.
So good morning to everybody. So we'll now move on to agenda paper 10. So this paper analyzes comments received on the committee's tentative agenda decision published in June 2018 on the exchange rate that an entity uses when there is a long-term lack of exchangeability. The committee received 9 comment letters. 6 respondents agreed with the committee's technical analysis and tentative conclusion. 2 respondents disagreed with particular aspects of the tentative agenda decision. Respondents' comments, together with our analysis of the analysis and recommendation, are discussed in paragraph 13 to 45 of the agenda paper. On the basis of our analysis, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision with minor drafting changes, which are discussed in paragraph 42 and 45 of the agenda paper. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision as set out in Appendix 8 to the agenda paper.
Reinhardt?
I had a couple of thoughts or comments. One is that when we, in the discussion on, I guess it's page 15, under the closing rate and the rates at the date of the transaction, on you know, reading that second paragraph where it says that accordingly the committee observed that in circumstances described above, where we talk about whether the official exchange rate meets the definition of the closing rate, I thought it could benefit from some further clarity. Where right now we say it's the rate to which an entity would have access at the end of the reporting period, and it's not only that you have access, in other words, that there is an official exchange mechanism, but you're unable to get it. You're unable to exchange for foreign currencies. In other words, tying it back to condition C that we have on the first page. So I thought it would be helpful to clarify that, very clear that there is an official exchange mechanism. There's a posted rate. However, you're unable to, there's a lack of exchangeability. And the reason for that is I've had, just reading on it and some other people commenting, they were unclear as to what we're actually saying, whether it could be misinterpreted in terms of what we are saying relative to the discussion on whether the official exchange rate meets the definition of the closing rate. I mean, I think that's consistent with the KPMG comment letter.
So is your concern that people can read the words would have access to being the rate exists as opposed to I can actually do something at that rate?
Access could mean various things. I mean, there's an official exchange mechanism. However, even if you try to get funds, especially in the circumstances in Venezuela, as I understand it, you can't actually exchange.
But Sue, so, yes.
Reinhardt, and this is just about the plain English version of the words, not about more technical. How could they not get that the entity would have access as being that I have to be able to get access to that rate? That's what I'm struggling with how they could read that as permitting them to say it's the official rate when it's clear that they could not have access in the sense of transacting. That's just what I'm struggling with in terms of understanding what the problem is.
Again, it's really what was meant by access. And I thought, again, it's not a it's not a huge issue that I have, but I thought it would benefit from tying back to the description of the circumstances on page 1 more clearly.
At the minute, just to check around, one reason we used access is we used the word access as well in bullet C of the facts. So we were trying, I think the point you're raising, at least we were trying to make that link by using the same word.
Okay, it's not a critical suggestion, but a comment I had. And then I guess the bigger question is this, our agenda decision, I know we had a discussion about this last time, and it doesn't tell people what to do. Mm. If you determine that the official exchange rate doesn't meet the definition of a closing rate, you're left hanging.
And I think that's right, and that's the discussion we had last time. So I think all that this agenda decision is doing, and my recollection is it's where we got last time based on what we felt we could do in an agenda decision, was simply confirm that don't just blindly use the official rate. So stop and think about whether it... And then I think I was going to ask the staff later what the plans are in terms of any additional work we think we need to do to then go the next step and fill in the vacuum that that then, you know, creates.
I think that would be helpful because right now, you know, you're left hanging as the reader. Yeah.
So we're sort of telling people what not to do as opposed to what to do. Gary?
Yeah. Just maybe Reinhardt's moved off at his like former life experience. I mean, there's official exchange rates for products, and they vary by products, yep. But if your product does not have an official exchange rate, there's nothing you have access to, and it's very much a controlled import-export situation. So some maybe critical products have got exchange rates, and they vary. In non-critical products, there is no exchange rate. You're just not allowed to do it through any sort of legal channels, and there's always the black market and, you know, stuff like that. But frequently, I think you'll find there is no exchange rate for products that aren't deemed critical when you're really hoarding foreign exchange reserves.
And maybe I was going to do this last, but maybe I'll do it now, just so that we've got the benefit of the current thinking for in case it's relevant to comments other people want to make. So the staff recommendation at the moment is that we finalise the agenda decision as drafted here, based on the comments, which are largely supportive. And all that does is confirm what you need to think about to decide whether or not you have the official rate in particular is a closing rate as defined. And then what were we thinking at the moment in terms of potential next steps, in terms of what we do, if anything, to fill the gap?
Well, he's basically saying, researching possible requirement to address the issue when there is no observable exchange rate in that case.
So we are planning to do that extra work.
So I'll only refer that when we get to it, the work in progress paper, paper 13 mentions that. So I think you'll remember that last time you decided two things. One was to issue the tentative agenda decision, and obviously importantly separately to research whether it's almost fill in that gap, Reinhardt. So as we say in this agenda decision, all we're really doing is saying don't blindly use the official rate, you know, stop and think. It doesn't, as you point out, actually then tell people what to do if they're not using the official exchange rate. And that's sort of where at least the research work is being done in the possible standard setting. Is there something achievable, relatively narrow, that could be done to amend IS21 to try and put some requirements in there that helps people work out what to do in the situation where there is a long lack of exchangeability?
So the tentative agenda decision does as much as the committee last time thought we could do with 21 as is. Okay. So that's a reminder for background. So, Guy?
I don't want to relitigate past discussion on this, not being part of those discussions, but what I gather... My understanding of where the committee landed was it was an intention to be helpful to preparers and acknowledge that, you know, essentially you could estimate a rate in the circumstances of long-term lack of exchangeability. But my impression was we weren't necessarily requiring someone to do that, and we were trying to open up that avenue, but not close down other avenues. And if that understanding is correct, I had one wording suggestion on the agenda decision to make sure there was no confusion around that point. So, and it relates to the very last paragraph of the agenda decision, where we say the committee concluded that the principles and requirements in IFRS standards provide an adequate basis for an entity to assess whether in the circumstances described above it uses the official exchange rate. I might suggest we say it is required to use the official exchange rate. And then it's that answer speaks to the question that was asked, are you required? Not necessarily, you can estimate.
Okay. And maybe committee members might want to comment on that, because I think it's, I see your point, but I think it's subtly different to where we were, so I'd be interested in observations on that as we go around. So that's an interesting suggestion. Bruce?
Thanks. I'm not going to rehash the same. I'm also one of those who's continued to believe we need to relook at this. The only concern I had was the top of page 15. We kind of talked there about the definition of what we do, and then the last sentence is, in light of the definitions, the committee concluded that the closing rate is the rate to which an entity would have access to at the end of the reporting period through a legal exchange mechanism. I bounced that off a few people because it made me uncomfortable, and I guess the comment that a lot of people came back and said is that we've inserted an additional requirement there into the definition of a closing rate. That's not an agenda decision. That's changing the definition of closing rate. Because you now, according to this, we're saying we believe you have to have a legal exchange mechanism. Now, we don't have a definition of what a legal exchange mechanism is. And in a lot of these countries where things have become difficult, I'm not saying that they're illegal, but there are a few that are, should we say, more in the gray area as to how people transact. The moment you put in legal exchange mechanism, a lot of people interpret it as saying, well, you have to default to the official government rate as a result of that.
So does that mean you'd be more comfortable if it stopped at reporting period?
Yeah, I just think by putting that in, we're overstretching on the agenda decision.
Right. Roughly order. So I think Tony?
So I think I remain comfortable with where we got to previously. I think the agenda decision complements the previous agenda decision that we reached. And I think it is helpful in allowing or providing enough flexibility for companies to think about the rate that they are going to use, acknowledging that IS 21 does not tell you what to do if the rate you have is doesn't meet the definition of a closing rate. I wonder about the change that Guy suggested. Is it required? I thought that the way we drafted it had left it that there is judgment both about whether a particular rate meets the definition of a closing rate, and then if it doesn't, what you do next. And I think I'd probably prefer to leave it as it is, so that there is judgment about what you do in the circumstances in which the official rate does not meet the definition of a closing rate. So I think I'd be inclined to leave it the way it was.
Okay. And did you have any reaction to Bruce's comments about the word legal exchange mechanism?
Again, I wonder about making the change. I understand that the standard does not specify, so I take that point. I also wonder a little bit about the door that it might open if the legal exchange mechanism is taken out.
So I'd like to be uncomfortable with the agenda decision as it is. Actually, I perfectly appreciate Bruce's comments. I don't know whether we should remove the last part of the sentence or not. But I agree with the staff recommendation to proceed with the agenda decision as worded, and to proceed in a two-step approach. And then,
okay, good, thank you, Andrew.
Couple of things on Bruce's comment first, since Noel, you'll ask me. I think that I share Tony's concern that by taking the words out, there might be a door that would creak open that we might not want. However, I do understand Bruce's comments, and I wonder whether it might be addressed if, rather than, we said, through a legal exchange mechanism, which does imply official rate, that we had through a legally permitted exchange mechanism. which is a slightly softer way of putting it, but then might help get you to something that's not quite as rigid in the way that the wording sounds. On the second paragraph of page 15, I just pause for a moment because we talk there about an official exchange rate, and which is in the singular, and yet we know that in Venezuela there were three or four different rates depending on what you could do. So I wonder whether we should talk in that paragraph about official exchange rate or rates meet the definition of the closing rate, and then talk about are one or more of those rates to which the entity has access. Because it did depend on your particular circumstances in Venezuela, which one you could use. The only other thought that I did have is that I do have some sympathy for the view of having just a little bit more direction, because I understand the point about looking at IS-21, but that's going to take quite a lot of time. And we're facing a December year-end where people really need relief. And I wondered if we might be a little clearer and perhaps add a very short third paragraph to the section of closing rates and the rates at the dates of the transactions, which said that if the rate or rates are not closing rates, then it may be appropriate for the entity to estimate a rate, which isn't saying you have to, but it just opens that door a little bit to what I think we're implying in the last paragraph anyway, but it just makes it a little bit clearer.
Okay. I think we tiptoed around that last time and decided against it, but yeah. Be interested in other thoughts. Carl?
Yes, thanks. I agree with staff's analysis and on the comment letters. The suggested final wording, just would like to repeat myself that I'm not comfortable with the reference to a specific country. I know for some members, some person in the room, it's important. But I'm still not comfortable with that, especially countries under humanitarian crisis. So I think it's a problem. That's my only discomfort with that, with the wording of the agenda this evening.
Thank you. Bonnie?
Thank you. So maybe I'll go in order of some of the comments. The comment that was suggested by Guy, I would agree with Tony that I would prefer to keep the current wording, as I believe that faithfully reflects the discussion that we had gotten to in the last committee meeting. On Bruce's suggested deletion, I would agree with deleting that, because I think it adds something that it does not exist in IS-21, and I think we should be faithful to what the words say in IS-21. Although I do take Andrew's point that you can exchange legally, even if it's not through a government-sanctioned mechanism. I do agree with Andrew on the rate or rates. At least as this is specific to Venezuela, there have in the past been multiple rates. I strongly disagree with referencing an estimation of a rate, because I don't think that exists in IS-21. And I understand that's the question. That is the point. That is the issue with IS-21, because it doesn't address that, and that's what needs to be remedied when there are situations like this, that if we want to reduce diversity in practice, then we need to give some instruction through the guidance, through the standards as to what to do. So I do not agree with that, with adding that.
Okay, thank you.
Paul? I also wanted to follow up on some of the comments. Agree with finalizing the agenda decision as is. On the last page, my preference would be not to make the change. I think it's consistent with discussion and ties back to the first page of the question that's being asked. On Bruce's change, I could agree with Andrew's amendment. I could leave it, or I could agree with Andrew's amendment to that. And then I think the final point was, I'm like Bonnie, I disagree with referring to estimation. Not that I disagree with estimation, I just think it goes beyond what we can do in an agenda decision.
Thank you. Young Sue?
I just want to say I agree with the agenda decision as stated. Actually, paragraph 17 on page, but clause 5, staff clearly stated that the entity can use estimated exchange rate in the limited situations as described in this fact pattern. But I think we can now say anything about estimated exchange rate in the agenda decision. Estimated exchange rate is not the spot rate as defined in IAS 21. So I agree with the staff analysis conclusion as well as the agenda decision.
Thank you. Tony?
I want to come back and say that I would also be comfortable with Andrew's suggested amendment as an alternative to Bruce's suggestion.
Can I just, Andrew, can you repeat for me again? Sorry, I apologize. That's my fault. Were you suggesting adding something that explains more what we mean by legal exchange mechanism, that doesn't just mean it's something that where the kind of it's government controlled, you can also have a legal exchange?
I think that's the effect of the wording change I was suggesting. What I was suggesting was in the final sentence of the first paragraph, delete the word legal and insert legally permitted. So that it then reads, the closing rate is the rate to which an entity would have access at the end of the reporting period through a legally permitted exchange mechanism.
I'll comment on that in a second. But Mikhail, did you have any comments you wanted to make in addition to the comments made so far?
No, not really. It's obviously a very tricky question, and I think that we strike the balance pretty well done in the proposal. So I support that we finalise this agenda decision and have no opinions about this latest or can support the latest proposal to change in the wording, but otherwise as is.
Okay. Sorry, Jim. Because it's white, I can't see it. It's in a white side.
I agree with the staff's conclusion to the most part, but I think Fruz made a very good point on this wording of legal, and I agree with Andrew's soft version of this sentence.
Mary?
Comments from an observer, just thinking about the discussion about legal exchange mechanism at the top of page 15. I think if you followed Bruce's original suggestion to end the sentence after access at the end of the reporting period, you aren't saying, and therefore you can use an illegal rate. It's, you know, it's just silent as the rest of IAS 21 is silent, about that. And I think, appropriately the focus of the committee when they're looking at something that has language in here, but if somebody's just picking up the final, they don't, you're maybe commenting or worrying about opening the door to something that silence doesn't imply.
I was going to make a similar observation. So listening to the conversation, I would love to be able to say you have to use a legal rate, but I think we need to be very careful with all of our agenda decisions that we are being faithful to reading what we've got to work with and not reading in what we might like to have. And so my suggestion would be, or my preference would be, to do what Bruce has suggested and just remove those words through a legal exchange mechanism and not try and modify them, because just having a quick look at 21, there is no such thing in there. So I think we're adding something in that we'd like to have that doesn't actually exist. So I think we need to be careful. And I would also agree with, I think most people have agreed that referring actually to using estimation at this point goes beyond what we actually have to work with. So we need to leave that to probably stage two. So my recommendation would be not to make that deletion of the legal exchange mechanism from the words. and not to modify the last paragraph as well, because I think we were trying to be as close as we could to 20. Bertrand?
I'm sorry, but if we were saying then through an exchange mechanism only...
No, I was going to stop at reporting date.
Reporting period.
Yeah, okay.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. But if we were to adjust through an exchange mechanism, because this, without qualifying the exchange mechanism, because this refers to paragraph A of the agenda decision, where it says the exchangeability of the foreign operations, foreign function currency with other currencies is administered by jurisdictional authorities. This exchange mechanism, which refers to this one, I don't know if it could help.
My preference actually would be to stop at reporting period, because I think if we're silent on the exchange mechanism, that might be when people will say, well, it doesn't say it has to be legal, so as long as it's a mechanism. Whereas I think stopping at legal at period, they'll just have to look at 21. So that would be my, putting my devil's advocate hat on. Bonnie?
I agree with that completely, but one thought I had, and I don't recall if we discussed this specifically in the last meeting, is should we say something that we intend to look at this matter as a future topic, just in terms of giving some indication of we're not just stopping here. We recognize that IS 21 doesn't give any guidance, and so we're going to look at it further. Just a thought. I don't feel strongly about it, but I just wondered if that was something that would be relevant.
The only reason why I hesitate just very slightly is because I think we're trying to write our agenda decisions in the way that we future-proof them as much as possible. So putting in stuff that's going to expire is not my preference.
Fair enough.
I think it would be good at an update to remind people that there is another step coming, so that everybody can make, you know.
Because that was good, because I agree. I was thinking we could do that just in update, make it clear it's not a new decision, but it's almost like repeating the decision that was taken in June.
That's probably a better way to do that.
We know the limitations of this, which I think is also responsive to some of the, like, the KPMG comment letter. Tom?
I'm not that happy to remove that part of the, with the reference to the legal system. And there was a tentative agenda decision. Did we got document? That we went too far? Yeah, there is now in the meeting. But were there comment letters? We had 8 comment letters. Was there anybody saying that the committee was going too far by saying legal system? And now we are going to change it. So I doubt whether the committee should do this.
I don't think it was raised in comment letters, which is a fair observation, but I think Bruce was saying he heard it when he talked to people about the...
Yeah, I mean, my only concern is, I mean...
It was touched on in the KPMG comment letter, not as directly as I think it's now discussed, but it was part of...
I mean, my only challenge is that if we put it out as is, I can almost see the next question being submitted to us is, can you explain what a legal exchange mechanism is?
We do have to rely on our own... Yeah. I agree the comment letters are very, very important, but I think we also have to be self-policing a little bit as well. Reinhardt?
I understand the reasons why... Bruce and others are suggesting to remove that phrase. I guess I'm just troubled whether we're opening up the potential for something that we didn't intend, because if we say that the closing rate is the one you have access to at the end of the period, and then in the next paragraph you assess whether the official exchange rate is the closing rate, if you decide the official rate is not the closing rate, then if you have access to other rates, would you use those rates? And so I just worry that we're opening up a potential door to, I know IS 21 doesn't say use officially posted rates, don't look to black market rates, but I think we've all, there's lots of guidance out there on that particular topic. And I just worry about opening that up. And along Tone's point, I worry that, at least in my mind, that's a fairly significant change. And I just wonder whether that would cause, you know, we would need to get some input on that. So my personal view is I feel quite strongly not to delete those words.
I can accept Andrew's suggestion, but I really worry if we're opening up a door that is unattended.
Bob?
Yeah, I also have significant concerns about deleting that phrase. I appreciate Bruce's point. I think, and hopefully Andrew's kind of modification helps that. But because this was in the, I believe this was in the proposed agenda decision, if we then people looking at that proposed and then seeing that in the final we deleted that, I'm afraid it's going to open up the door again for those people who believe that you can use black market rates, other rates. And
if I may, if part of our discussion, which does not exist, that an estimation of a rate is possible, even though that's not what IS-21 says, if you were to go through the analysis of what a true rate would be, I doubt it would be that different than the black market rate. I understand the black market rate is not a legal exchange mechanism. There probably are exchanges that are happening, or else you wouldn't have a black market rate. If you were to estimate, we talk about disclosure. I'm struggling with why this is an issue, because this language does not exist in IS-21. It just doesn't.
I agree with you in the Venezuela situation where there is nothing else but the black market, or but this is general. If there is a legal exchange rate that you can access, but there's also the black market. And we closed those issues down, I believe, in the past. But I think opening this up could open up those situations where there is also a legal rate.
I strongly disagree with this language, and I think I'd made this comment before that I don't agree with this, because this issue relates to Venezuela, which is why we agreed to put in that this is specific to Venezuela, so that it wouldn't be something that you could use by analogy to other situations. And that's why I made the comment that I did, that, and I think it's the right place in the IFRIC update, that there is a second step. To me, this is something that we should include in the second step. If we're going to give more guidance and if we're going to change the standards, that is a specific point for us to address and for us to make a comment on. I don't disagree with you, but right now we're inserting something into IS-21 that doesn't exist. I don't disagree with you, but there's a lot of things in IFRS that I might want to change, but the wording is not there to support the view. And so I take all the comments, but because this is specific to Venezuela, I think it's relevant to exclude it. That's my view, obviously.
Can I just make a comment on that? I mean, just my concern, and I mean, is firstly, I agree. I would love it to be in there. The problem at the moment is if I said that I was going to prepare my accounts on the basis of using the black market rate today, what in IS-21 prevents me from doing that? As it's written today, there's nothing. There's nothing. If I can show that the black market rate meets the definition of a closing rate, it's a closing rate. All our definitions, look, exchange rate is just the ratio of exchange between two currencies. There's no reference to legal. There's not. So.
But Bruce, does it create enforceable rights and obligation?
It would be between me and the person exchanging the money with me.
No, but. In the case of Venezuela, I agree with you that for parallel exchange, there are in many countries parallel mechanisms. Some are authorized, some are strictly prohibited, and this is the case in Venezuela. And basically, I'm not really sure that, for instance, if there were a litigation between you and the guy selling you the currency on the black market rate, that, your rights would be enforceable, for instance, injustice, in regard to the requirements that you have in the law. So that's why it's...
But Vincent, there's no reference to enforceable rights in the definitions. That's not what the definition... Once again, if you want to insert that into the definitions, I'm happy to suggest, but then we need to change IS-21. What I'm saying is, I mean, please, I'm not advocating for illegal rates or black market rates. What I'm saying is, when you read what's currently in the standard, there is no reference to legal, there's no reference to official, there's no reference to any sort of mechanism if you go through the current definitions. If we all believe that those definitions require this, well, I think that's a different debate. Then we need to suggest to the board that they make a narrow scope amendment to I-21 to include this. But I'm saying without it, if we add that in as it is here, we are inserting something into the definition of exchange rate that currently does not exist in I-21. And that's just simply my view. And that's what I'm saying. It's not that I agree with it. It's I'm saying it's been true to what's currently in the standard, and I just don't think we've got that.
Okay. Martin.
Yeah, I have some concerns if we say, okay, we more or less we allow the black market rate or so, which then would be illegal. So therefore, I mean, I believe it's in a way smart, really, to say whether the entity has access to a legally allowed exchange mechanism with sufficient liquidity, whatever that exchange mechanism is then, if it is legally allowed. If this is not the case, for sure I might develop my potential exchange rate while inflating the last exchange rate where there was a sufficient liquidity with the inflation rate, for example. So that could be more or less a way out. Otherwise, I might put my people in Venezuela in danger that they are doing something illegal in a way how they account for it. And this is also a challenge.
We're not saying anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying we're silent on the issue.
Jennifer? Mm-hmm.
So I recall that this was discussed at the prior meeting. And so I pulled up the paper from June. So this was paragraph 25 in the paper from the June meeting, where it talks about the staff had analyzed immediate delivery to mean basically a legal exchange mechanism. So as immediate delivery implies an entity must have immediate access to an exchange mechanism, there are typically two broad categories of legal exchange mechanisms available, and it gives the two, a financial market or administered process created and directed by jurisdictional authorities. So I thought that was the thought process in terms of why the agenda decision was written the way that it is. Maybe it's not spelled out to say, here's the hook, it's immediate delivery, and here's what it means. But that was my recollection from the prior meeting. And I guess the other point, it seems like it is in IS-21, and maybe that was part of that was the staff's analysis. But I also do worry about Bob's point about the fact that it was put in the agenda decision, there weren't any comments, and now if it would be struck out, people might read something into that that wasn't intended.
Andrew?
I just wanted to come back and say that I would be very strongly opposed to deleting a reference to a legally permitted rate. I understand what the standard says, but we did have the previous discussion in June, and then we did send out a draft tentative agenda decision which had a reference to a legal exchange mechanism. And if we delete that now without comments coming from constituents about it, then I would be very uncomfortable with doing that. The only way I can see that we could, because we're making a change where there are no comments at all, would be to put it out for exposure again and see what people say.
You're a mind reader. I was just whispering to Petrina. So the only thing that makes me hesitate and why I was whispering to Petrina is because I think one of the reasons this came to us was because this is a time-critical issue and putting it out for comment again is not our finest moment in terms of being responsive on a timely basis. Having said that, given the strength of feeling on both sides of the debate, and I must say given my personal apprehension that while I would love there to be a restriction that says legal, I think we have to be super, super, super careful with our agenda decisions that we're not going beyond our mandate, which is not to interpret but just to explain what's already exists. Yep. So my suggestion would be that we vote on the agenda decision deleting the words through a legal exchange mechanism, but given that it does have consequences and it's different to what was exposed and people didn't directly comment on it, that we put it out for comment again. be on the safe side. Mary, Gary, board members, do you think that's the best proposal? Before I ask
that, the ice 21. Just that we have to ice 21 literally before making any. I understand the situation.
Yeah.
I can see arguments both ways, either to delete it, to leave it. My suggestion would be it's actually a little bit off the mark. If we're going to leave in legal exchange mechanism, I would probably expand it, say, within the country, because walk down the streets here, there's bureaus of exchange all over the place. Those are perfectly legal. They're just not inside the country. So that's a little bit twist on it, but it would be, I guess, arguably supportive of legal exchange mechanism.
Guy?
I was just going to offer, there may not be the direct words in IS 21 that deals with this, but isn't this inherent in how we approach accounting? We focus on what's legal, not what's illegal, and we don't assume parties are going to violate the law when we determine make our accounting determination. So I think it's inherent in what we do, and so the absence of a legal, the phrase in IS 21 does not offend me at all.
I would agree with you, but that would cause me to do the opposite thing, which would be to say, by being silent in the agenda decision, I'm not changing that basic presumption, but nor am I making people stop and really, you know, ask a new question that we don't specifically require them to answer at the moment in 21.
Yeah, but if we're concerned about timing, I would focus on that as the underlying premise as to why that phrase is there, and it shouldn't be controversial, and removing it could imply something broader than what we're intending in removing it. And so I would think you could proceed with that phrase there on that basis and not have to go through this process of re-exposing, et cetera.
Bonnie?
I believe it is possible to have a legal, non-governmentally sanctioned exchange mechanism that takes place outside the country. So that is why I very strongly believe that we should take this wording out, because it's not in IS 21. I understand your point that that's the premise. Then I would agree with Sue that the premise exists now. We're not changing it. We're also not putting words in IS 21 that don't exist and defining a closing rate. I understand the views on both sides. I'm speaking from a preparer's standpoint. And if I think we should re-expose, given the strength of the opinions around the room.
Do we say any place in the conceptual framework or IS-1 that we assume you comply with the laws? I mean, we could just lift that sentence if it's any place.
Anywhere.
I mean, if IFRIC 23 itself is gray.
Sorry?
Okay. This discussion is quite technical. And from the user's point of view, regarding the situation like Venezuela, I believe that the very few investors are, convinced, probably, if the preparers use legal or illegal exchange rates. Anyway, that there is no kind of reliable. What is clear is, I believe, that there is no, reliable exchange rate here to represent that the economic substance of the entity. So that as far as users' perspective concerned, that if the preparers disclose which exchange rate they are using as an estimate to best represent their situation, and why they conclude that the exchange rate is the best estimate for them, would be enough. Anyway, that users will probably ask why you are using this rate. And also, in that perspective, probably that I'm not in the position that which is better, legal or illegal, but I think that from the standard set of point of view, that probably that if there is probably we should avoid any conflict with the overall principles of IFRS. So that I'm not sure that can we use legal term legal or not, but as far as that it is acceptable from the principles of IFRS, I would accept that from the user's point of view.
Thank you. Bob?
I understand the points, Bonnie, that you're making, and I don't have a way to fix it, but just an observation, because we all have interpretations that says you can't use a black market rate for the reasons that the guy stated. And my observation is, because we don't have a basis for conclusion to tell people why we're taking this out, that's what's causing me the concern, because they're going to read into that and start to question those previous interpretations, say, hey, those were wrong, because that was the reason why they took this out, because we don't provide a reason. We have no mechanism to provide a reason why we took it out.
We might be flattering ourselves a bit that they've noticed we put it in.
Be surprised.
Martin?
Yeah, I considered whether we could probably delete this legally. If we say whether the entity has access to exchange to an exchange mechanism with sufficient liquidity, and access for me, in general, for sure means legal access. I mean, if I'm not allowed to do so within the country, I do not have access to the black market. However, if for any other country, there might be opportunities to exchange, for example, the currency abroad, then I have access to a market with sufficient liquidity. So therefore, for me, that access argument is even more important.
That was my point on it. Yeah. Miami's got a huge business to business, moving the Latin currencies when they've got problems. It's perfectly legal as long as you do it there.
Okay, Tony, and then I'm going to take a vote.
I just wanted to echo what Bob said. The thing that gives me the particular concern is having the words in and then taking them out, because I don't think there will be an explanation for why they came out. I think a lot of us are in the same place, saying that we all agree that that you assume when you're doing your accounting that the company is going to comply with the law and it's not going to use a black market rate. But I just think if we had the words in, we took them out, there's nothing to explain why they came out, then I think people will look at that and say, hey, that's a reason for not using or for being able to use an illegal rate. And this is not in a piece of the guidance that is specific to Venezuela. I know that we're addressing Venezuela in here, but it's in a generic description of the guidance in IS-21, and there's a risk, I think, that people will look at it and that it opens a door in other jurisdictions where there are less than completely legal exchange mechanisms.
Okay. So my suggestion is, Young-Soo, do you want to add something? Because I was going to
Just one thing. I just look at the question submitted on page 14. It's 1, 2, 3, the third paragraph from the bottom. And the question was this: whether an entity is required to use an official exchange rate. So what they ask us is whether they can use official exchange rate. To me, official exchange rate is a legal exchange rate. So if we delete any legal exchange mechanism at the paragraph, the first paragraph 15, that means that we don't answer anything about that submitted question at all.
Sure. Okay. So I've made my feelings as chair probably inappropriately pretty clear. Mm-hmm. But I think I need to be as neutral as possible as I can be in terms of how I call a vote, so to not try and skew it the way I might want the world to be. So my proposal is that I will call the vote on the agenda decision as drafted in the appendix. But before I call a vote, I think the committee members individually, I'm trying to look you all in the eye, because if we get flack on this, on the agenda decision, I'm not, it's not me who voted, okay?
It's your pictures on the website.
From the website, but I'm going to be reminding you, because I think we need to be very careful how we're using our agenda decisions. We're using them very differently to how we used to in the past, and people notice. Mm-hmm. People have been commenting, and so far we've been good, because we can completely, hand on heart, I think, say we have not gone beyond the words in our standards. Mm-hmm. And I think we all agree that it's implicit in 21, Andrew, please, that there's a legal background. But we may need to be able to answer the question where those words are in the standard, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to be very strong in that if we issue this decision as it is. I want to vote just on the words exposed for comment, because then we're as close as possible to the due process. I don't want to tinker with them. That's why I'm going to call a vote on that, Andrew. I know you wanted to suggest an alteration.
Well, it wasn't that. It was the point that I think Bonnie raised as well, that there were multiple rates in Venezuela, which was the reference to more than one rate in the second paragraph of the closing rate sentence.
That's fine, because a rate or rates is fine. That's to me. In the scheme of what we're discussing here is a smaller point. But
just to for me to be 100% certain I understood, will there be an alternative?
I'm going to vote for who will support just issuing the agenda decision as it is with the rate or rates addition, so that we acknowledge there could be multiple rates, to see who is thinks that's what we should do.
Will you call for an additional vote eventually?
If I don't get enough votes on that, then we'll look at what the alternative is, yes. But first I want just a vote.
One question before I vote. if we would delete that wording with the official exchange rate, would the consequence then to re-expose, yeah. so to say, for the agenda decision?
Yeah.
So more or less have another comment period then? Or?
Just a thought, if we did re-expose with the words out, is there a piece of work we could do, or not us, but I guess it's the staff could do, with the words in 21? So we've all read the words in 21 to say it has to be a legal rate. And Vincent gave a good explanation of why it has to be the legal rate. Is there something that we could do by way of a piece of analysis that could then supplement what is already in here?
Get us
to the conclusion, but then it's actually supported rather than...
Let's vote on this, which means that you guys are confident that that's what it says. I think if that doesn't work, then I'll get a vote on having deleted the words per Bruce's suggestion. If we do that, then my expectation would... Then I would ask you guys, when you're thinking about the firms in particular responding to that, if we put it out again for comment, I think it would be important for the committee to get an understanding of why we would be confident we should have the words put back in again. So I think it would come in that way. So in the first instance, I'm really asking you guys whether you're comfortable standing by the words as we'd put up for comment already, mm-hmm. Then we'll go from there. Okay, so a show of hands on who would support issuing the final agenda decision as drafted with the amendment to rate or rates, but otherwise unchanged, so leaving in the words through a legal exchange mechanism. Who would like to proceed on that basis?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Mikhail? Yes, support as well.
So that's enough.
That's okay. Enough.